What would it be like to wake up one day and discover that you had lots of stuff? You were rich! What a wonderful thing! You'd never have to work hard. And all day long you could yibba-dibba-dum if you were a wealthy man. There are two things in life that can really mess you up. One is failure, the other is success. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Silberg. Jesus tells a story about a guy who is amazed because his land has produced abundantly. Now, we'll see in a minute what he chooses to do with that abundance. But it reminds me of an experience I had. The first church that I pastored, I was still trying to figure things out. And I got a call one evening. It was the wife of a man named Fred who said, "Could you please come and spend some time with my husband tomorrow? He's had some minor surgery on his eye, but he's been told that he has to lie flat on his back in darkness for the next 2 weeks." So I went over that day, and I had interacted with Fred a little bit. I'd seen him across the sanctuary. We talked once or twice. Didn't know him that well, but I knew just from the way he dressed and the way he carried himself and from the things that I heard that he'd been quite successful. Sure enough, I drove up to his house, and this was a large, very nice yard and home. In the driveway, there was a beautiful car. I walked up to the door. I'd been told by his wife, "Go in, the door will be open." He's back in the back bedroom. I found my way back there, and there Fred was lying on the bed. We began to talk. As part of our conversation, he said, "You know, preacher, I'd like to give you some advice." He said, "You know, you're just a little too nice." He said, let me adjust that for you." He said, "As you can tell," and he kind of did his arm like this, "I've been around, and I've done some things." He'd been principal of several schools, elementary, middle school, and high schools throughout Montgomery County. He also had dabbled in business. He said, "I've been around. I know how to work with people." He said, "What you need to learn, preacher, is you need to keep folks guessing. A little fear is not a bad thing. Just sort of keep folks wondering what you're thinking, and don't let them ever know what you're going to do next. And you just might find you're successful." And he did his arm like that. Well, a few days later was a deacon's council meeting, and I was concerned about Fred lying there in the dark for 2 weeks, and I mentioned in this group, it would really be good if we could kind of tag team, and two or three of us each week go and spend time with Fred. After the meeting, a couple of folks came up to me and said, "There's no way we're going to visit Fred. We worked with him. One was a teacher and one was in business. There's no way." Then a third person came over and said, "You know, preacher, I've been listening to what you've said about Jesus demanding that we love our enemies. I'll go visit Fred." Jesus tells a story about a guy who is abundantly successful. Now, like my friend in Montgomery County, we've got different metrics of success. He was successful, that Fred was, in certain areas, but there was, as you could tell, a looming deficiency in his life. So it is with the man in Jesus' story. His ground has produced abundantly. He is surprised by all that he's suddenly left with. And so listen to the way the story unfolds. Theron read beautifully just a moment ago. I'd like you to hear the words again with a little bit of emphasis that Jesus might have used when he told this story. Listen carefully. So the land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Now, what did you hear in the way Jesus may have been telling this story with emphasis? What was emphasized? It's the pronouns, I, me, and mine. It's no coincidence that Jesus fills this story full of I, me, and mine. Because where was this fellow's attention? It was all on himself. And here's the tragedy of this story. Now, remember, it was, as described by Jesus, the land that produced abundantly. And of course, this guy sees it as his land. But in fact, we know, if you've ever gardened before, there are certain things about gardening you have to be really careful with. One is to not assume you're in control. That is God who provides the rain and the sun and the mystery of the seed, that we still can't fully figure out exactly how it works to create from this tiny little thing an amazing crop that will sustain us. But in addition to the connection to God that this guy fails to recognize, there's also this broader perspective of who was it that actually planted the crops? This is a rich guy. It wasn't him. He hired people to do it. So he's got all these workers who have tilled the land, prepared the soil, put in the seeds, cultivated those seeds, weeded, and then picked the crops, carried them from the fields, and put them in his barns. There's no acknowledgement of this wealthy man that anybody else is involved except for him. He misses the holy connection with God and the beautiful connection with others. And in the story, this is what Jesus says happens. And God says, "You fool, this night your soul, your life is required of you. You have failed to use the very thing I gave you and the reason I gave it to you. And I want it back." It's a tragic story of a man who dies from his success. What is it that he misses out on? What is he lacking here? The story that Jesus is telling is in response to a condition that a couple of guys have that many of us have struggled with. It's just a family quarrel, two brothers. And one yells out to Jesus, "Master, tell my brother to share his inheritance, our inheritance, the family's inheritance with me." There's a struggle in the family. And Jesus proceeds to say, "Be on your guard for all kinds of greed." Now, greed is an interesting word. We usually associate it with wealth, that is, money and stuff. But in fact, Jesus is hinting at a larger picture here that the Merriam-Webster Dictionary actually gives us insight into. Greed doesn't have to involve money or stuff at all. It is simply selfish desire uncontrolled. Listen carefully. Selfish desire, uncontrolled. So this guy is left with an abundance of crops, and the only thing he can imagine to do is to tear down the barns that he's got, build new ones, and store up these crops for his family and the community and people who actually would need this stuff. What is it that he stores the food up for? So that he can sit back. It's the I, me, and mine. He can sit back and eat, drink, and be merry. Now, what's neat about the way Jesus constructs this story, and we'll actually have part two of this story next week, in a way, Jesus is kind of diagnosing the symptom by implying some connections. Because the way this story is constructed, with the pronouns emphasizing I, me, and mine, and the reference to eat, drink, and be merry, is a fascinating connection we'll talk about next week and illustrate further to Ecclesiastes and the Old Testament and what Jesus seems to be interplaying with this story. For today, the diagnosis is as follows. We have simply three L's. We've got a triple L class, which is a beautiful group of folks that are very wise. So we're going to imitate our triple L class. And the first L, the diagnosis, this guy, he's not in love with God. He doesn't love his community. He's not really even loving himself. He's in love with control. The sad diagnosis that Jesus seems to overlay on this story is this guy completely misses the very nature of why we're here and what we're supposed to do. 1 Corinthians 13 really gets it to the heart of this. It says, you can do all this stuff. You can have wealth and faith that moves mountains. You can have everything you possibly can want. You can have all kinds of neat stuff. But if you don't have love, the right kind of love, you've got nothing. You are nothing. You have nothing. You're missing out on the very thing that God created you for. To be in communion and fellowship with God and with other people. We've said before, and it's appropriate to remind ourselves during the season of Lent, the sign of this trifold connection, to love God, to love others as we love ourselves, in the sign of the cross, connecting God with us, connecting others with us and God, the sign of the cross. But it's awfully easy, especially in our society. Most of you are aware that our economy in this country is really based on a very interesting thing. It is based on the fact that people like you and me, Christian folks, who in our scripture are told over and over, be content with what you have. Love God and love others. And yet our economy, listen carefully, is based on the fact that we will never do that. Our economy is based on the assumption that we're going to keep buying stuff because we never will be fully satisfied. This is a little scary, that we as Christians have forgotten the calling of our hearts and minds and spirits, and during the season of Lent, it's not a bad time to be called back to that calling. It's not about loving stuff and loving control. It's all about loving God, loving one another as we love ourselves. The further diagnosis is it's not just love of control, but what this creates, tragically, is a lack of community. Notice that this guy, when he's debating about how to use the abundance of his crops, who does he talk to? He stops and he interacts with all his neighbors, and they have a discussion together, and they say, what can we do with all this? This is great. Look at all these crops we have. We can share this with one another. No, that's not what he does. Who does he talk with? He has no one else to communicate with. He has a complete lack of community. The only person he has to talk to is who? His own soul. What a tragedy that you completely forfeit the people that surround you. You've forgotten the gift of knowing and being known and loving and being loved, and you have no one else. And when you're struggling and you're hurting and someone says, we need to go visit Fred, people say, I'm not going. Why should I go? He treated me terribly. He took me for granted. When your love is misplaced and you lack a community, the third L, you lose your soul. You lose the very essence of who you are. You lose the very gift that God has given us to be together in a group of folks that can laugh when we laugh and cry when we cry and visit us when we're struggling and lift us up when we've fallen down. The diagnosis for this week, brothers and sisters, may this wilderness journey that Jesus took, that for us represents the 40 days of Lent, on this Sunday, remind us again of the intense value of self-reflection, of reevaluation, of listening carefully to what God is saying, perhaps through voices and lives that surround us. So this week, may you be intent on seeing the terrible problem of this rich man and being aware of the great opportunities God presents before us today, this week, and every day. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.